1 Corinthians 9 tonight, if you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 9. First Corinthians chapter 9, and I want to begin reading and go down through verse number 27, but where we're going to spend the bulk of our time tonight is in verse 27. But as we read, I want you to notice in verse 19 that Paul surrendered himself to be a servant to all. Paul didn't carry himself before men to be served, but to serve all men. We see that in verse 19. And then in verses 20 through 24, Paul became as those who needed the gospel. He humbled himself for the gospel's sake. And then we see in verses 24 through 27 that Paul surrendered himself to the race that God had called him to so he could finish that race and not disqualify himself. And we'll begin reading in verse 19, and then we'll have a word of prayer. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law. As under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this time in your house. And as your word is open, I just ask you, Lord, just to lead and guide. I ask you to give me the words you'd have me to say. I ask you, Lord, just to help us with this subject tonight. I know you have stirred my heart and challenged me in this area once again. It seems to be often, and that just means I need it. But I just ask you, Lord, just to, again, just to stir up within the hearts of your people this matter here tonight on bodily subjection to the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight we're looking at bodily subjection to God. We just read in verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The word subjection here means the act of subduing, the act of vanquishing, and bringing under the dominion of another. The word subduing means to oppress, to crush, to sink, to overpower, so as to disable from further resistance. Emphasis on disable from further resistance. I picture within my mind an encounter with law enforcement. An officer will subdue, which is to disable an individual from further resistance. So before the subject, the individual, is brought under the dominion, the control, so to speak, of the officer, they are subdued first. So subduing is a vital part of being brought under the dominion of another. Now, when it comes to law enforcement, if they want you subdued, even if you don't want it, it will be forced subdued. But spiritually, that's not the way the Lord works. You subdue yourself, so to speak. You subdue yourself, you subdue your mind, you subdue your will and your emotions, and then you present yourself to God subdued for Him to have the dominion over you spiritually, which will result in physical dominion. This may be difficult to digest tonight, but if you struggle at subduing your flesh, and we all do, then you're also struggling in the area of the Lord having dominion over your flesh. So many people want to have an uncontrolled flesh and a proclaimed degree of spirituality at the same time. But I remind us tonight that according to biblical principles, if you are spiritually free, then you'll also be physically free. Physical freedom does not necessarily mean spiritual freedom, but spiritual freedom will mean physical freedom. Many people in our world today are physically disciplined, but they're not spiritually disciplined. But I never met a man or woman who was spiritually disciplined that was also not physically disciplined. I've done much studying on preachers of yesteryear, and I don't believe that it was just because at a certain time in our generation and in our nation's history, or maybe the world's history, that people were perhaps just more health conscious, though they were. But I don't believe we can solely base the fact that there were certain people at certain times, men of God and women of God, who just surrendered their bodies to the Lord. What we see in this passage here, another example in the scriptures by definition where spirit control is implied. Paul brought his body and he subdued it, and then he presented his subdued body into subjection, which again is by definition bringing it under the dominion of another. Another here is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul stated in Romans 7, that within him is no good thing. So when you realize that within you is no good thing, and a good thing needs to be accomplished, you must then surrender to the one who can bring about good things. So the Apostle Paul, he gave his subdued body over to the Holy Spirit of God in subjection. And if you and I are going to follow in the footsteps of Paul in this worthy endeavor, then we too must surrender our subdued bodies to the Lord. Notice a few things tonight. God did not design our bodies to be master. Now, when you think about the descriptions of sheep, we're weak, we are fragile, we are undisciplined by nature. We're like sheep in that we are simple. We're easily led astray from the Lord and his pastors, either by somebody or we lead our own selves astray at times. God designed our bodies, our physical bodies, to be servants. The Bible says a man cannot serve two masters. Tonight we have one master, and that's Jesus Christ, and we should have no room for any other. Paul says, I keep under my body. I read this week, our appetites should not rule our bodies. Our desires should not dictate our decisions. Our feelings should not lead our lives. Now, if there's anything that you and I can testify of tonight, it's that our bodies have the ability to be a wonderful servant, but an awful master. By personal testimony tonight, when my heart, mind, body, and feelings and emotions was my master, I was a mess. I was unhinged. It was a time in my life that I was out of control. Because God designed our bodies to be servants, not masters. I remind us tonight that if you submit your body, if you submit to your body instead of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're in for a world of misery. I saw this in my studies also. If the body rules, hunger becomes gluttony, desire becomes lust, stress becomes addiction, fatigue becomes laziness. And I tell you today, if Christ had the victory over our bodies, how much more would we accomplish for his will and glory? How much healthier would we be? How much more productive would we be? There was a man that I looked up to. He was a pastor. And when we moved from Hot Springs, the church that we were going to, was going to be going to school there, ended up not being what we thought it was, and it was going in a little bit of a different direction. So we were in a church for a few months outside of the city. There was a pastor there, and he knew that I was going into Bible college and pursuing the call of God on my life to preach. And he had me in his home every week, and he was taking the Bible, going through the Bible, just investing in me. And he was a larger man and pretty large. And he told me, and this was one of the passages that he came to, and he said, you know, looking at me right now, I'm in the shape that I'm in because I have not applied this passage. He said, and I'm sharing this with you. He said, because I want you to take care of yourself. He said, you're going to be going in the ministry. You're going to be pastor. And he said, you know what? My time is coming to an end. You know, and he was in his early 60s, but his time was coming to an end. And he said, you know what? This is my fault. This is my fault. Where I'm at right now and my time is short. He said, I want to serve God for another 10 years. I'd love to serve God for another 15, for another 20 years, but I can't because I didn't take care of myself. And that's something that I think about sometimes, and I need to do better at that myself, at heeding that advice. I do need to do better, but that's something that comes to my mind at times because I want to be, my desire is to be as healthy as I can for as long as I can so that I can do as much as I can for the Lord. I don't want my time to be cut short. And honestly, folks, it's really no different sometimes than a drug addict, the way we are sometimes with our health when we cut our lives short due to poor health and not taking care of ourselves. Spiritual maturity, in part, is when the spirit governs what the body wants. The Lord's once again been burdening my heart in this area. And it is an area in my life that the Lord desires more influence in and more involvement in. This brings up another point, subjection. Bringing our body into subjection to the Lord doesn't happen by accident. Subjection doesn't just happen. Not based on the wording that Paul uses. Paul says, I bring my body into subjection. This was the extent of Paul's self-control. He had enough control to hand over control. Look at what Paul states, and bring it into subjection. Again, this does not happen accidentally. Notice this, you do not stumble your way into discipline, but you can stumble your way into indulgence. Part of the problem with many believers, and myself included at times, is that we live too free. We live too limitless. We overindulge, even in good things, too much pleasure, too much excitement, too much food, too much recreational activities, too much sleep. Subjection requires saying no to sudden impulse. The Bible says to bring every thought into captivity. Half the time, we've already said something, done something, before we've even taken the time to think about it. Subjection also requires establishing boundaries. If you know that you have poor impulse control, and you know that you struggle in certain areas, then position yourself in such a way that you're not around your temptations. And your temptations are not around you. And yes, there is a difference. You can set out to avoid temptation. That's half the battle. The other half is making sure that temptation doesn't find you. Subjection also implies practicing restraint. So there comes a time when you have avoided temptation, but found it. Or you avoided temptation, and then temptation found you. Which means now it comes down to restraint. And subjection to the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God will help you restrain yourself. Subjection also involves trading habits. Something that is a habit, we do it without thinking. We have a habit of eating. We all do. Now, do you know that I have set out to fast before? I said, I'm going to fast today. And forgot that I was fasting. Found myself in the fridge getting a snack, to then eat that snack, to then remember that I was fasting that day. Why? Because there was a habit. There was times when I was coming back to the Lord. And even now, because we have our areas that we struggle in, we come before the Lord and we say, Lord, I'm not going to do this anymore. But because it's a habit, you forget about your prayer 20 minutes later. And you find yourself right back in what you were doing because it's a habit. And habits, we do it without even thinking about it. Because it's a habit. We don't even think about it. We just do it. We have what we call muscle memory. We just do it. That's what we do. We do it and we don't even think about it. Habit is things you do without even thinking about it. But when that happens, we have to look at those times and realize that it is our habits reveal who we are. It's what's deeply ingrained within us. And we can do it without even thinking about it. Part of subjection is swapping bad habits for good habits as the Lord leads. In 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 26, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth a prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. You know, athletes, they deny themselves lawful things for a greater goal. I was listening one time to, believe it was Tom Brady, talk about his diet and things that he doesn't eat. And the things that he puts his body through. All to be at a level, a playing level, where he can position himself properly to win a Super Bowl. And it's amazing if you listen to it. Listen maybe to some of these athletes. Google or something, diet of athletes, and listen to some of them talk about their diets, all so they can go out on the court or they can go out on the field in hopes of winning a trophy. But it pales in comparison to we as believers in terms of the eternal reward that we are after. Likewise, believers must deny fleshly control for eternal reward. The Apostle Paul was driven to accomplish something great for the Lord, but he also had a healthy amount of fear if he didn't bring his body under subjection. You know, if we don't subdue our bodies and present our bodies to the Lord in subjection to his leading, there is a danger of disqualification. Paul was worried about this, and by the way, we all should have a healthy fear of it. Paul says, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul says, lest by any means. Now, I tell you tonight, if our bodies rule and reign, fill in the blank for what they're capable of. I hear people say sometimes, I would never do that. I would never do that. You saw something, you read a headline, they say, I would never do that. Get away from the Lord. And it amazes you what you're capable of, what your flesh is capable of. It will amaze you. We got to be careful sometimes. Fill in the blank for what we're capable of, which means fill in the blank for what could disqualify us. Paul specifically uses the word castaway. Castaway essentially means set aside. Curtis Hudson used the example once about an old plow. Just sitting off to the side, just rusting away. It's been set aside. It's not being used anymore. It's just been set aside. I'll be honest with you, I fear that to the point that I have boundaries set about my life. I want to be pastoring 5 years, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. I want to be doing whatever it is that God would have me to do down the road. And I fear being a castaway enough to have boundaries set up about my life and to have boundaries set up about the lives of my family. Cast away, it means set aside. It's not losing salvation, but losing usefulness and reward. Spurgeon says this, "Moreover, if Satan cannot destroy a Christian, how often has he spoiled his usefulness? Many a believer has fallen, not to break his neck, that is impossible, but he has broken some important bone and he has gone limping to his grave. We can recall with grief some men once eminent in the ranks of the church who did run well, but on a sudden, through stress of temptation, they fell into sin and their names were never mentioned again except with bated breath. Everybody thought and hoped they were saved so as by fire, but certainly their former usefulness could never return." Without a doubt, the Apostle Paul had seen men of God fall. Without a doubt, Charles Spurgeon had seen men of God fall. And commitments were made to avoid it. Paul was aware of it. He was aware of the possibility. He even said in Romans 7 that within him was no good thing. He already knew it. If he got away from the Lord, he'd explore all the things within him that ain't no good. Paul feared, I read this last week also, Paul feared preaching discipline to others, but living indulgence. Paul feared teaching victory, but practicing a life of defeat. Paul feared influencing others, while he himself being ruled by his appetites. What I'm about to say is important. A lack of spirit control will damage your testimony. It'll damage your influence. It will damage your effectiveness. And lastly, let's look at the power involved in bringing your body into subjection. This is not willpower alone. According to Galatians 5 and verse 23, one of the fruits of the Spirit is temperance. Ask yourself tonight, who is in charge? Who's in charge of your body? Ask yourself, am I spirit-led? Or am I impulse led? And we can find ourselves on both sides of that. We can. I can be traveling. I ain't hungry. I know it. I ain't hungry. Especially down I-10. That's where all the weakness starts coming in. When you get it on I-10 going through South Louisiana. And you got Boudin and Cracklin signs all over the highway going down there. Boudin and Boudin balls and cracklings and chicken cracklings and all that stuff. You start going down there. Every billboard, I'm thinking, phew, phew. That's what I'm thinking. That's impulse. That ain't nothing other than impulse. Body don't need it. Impulse. Sometimes, if we're honest here tonight, we are impulsive. I ask yourself, do my appetites answer to God or do I answer to them? And that's one of the things that the Lord has convicted me about. See, sometimes we may start a diet or something like that, and it might not even be a thing that we would say the Lord led us to do. It's just something that we say, you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to do that. And the Lord's convicted me over the fact that there have been times that I have told my body to do something and then turned around and listened to it when it came at me from the opposite direction. And the Lord's convicted me about that. That I should be able, through the power of Christ, to tell myself no and deny myself. And that's where the conviction for me has come in, and the Lord has been stirring in my heart over this passage. And every time I get off track, he brings me back to it. which tells me I might ought to stay on track and then the Lord will move on to something else. Sometimes we want the Lord to move on, but we ain't changed. When we change, he'll move on. Again, this is for me tonight, and I hope you get something out of it. See, the Christian life is not about punishing the body. It's about prioritizing eternity over temporal desires. The body says, right now, right now, right now, right now. And the spirit says, is it right? See, Paul disciplined himself, not because he hated his body, but because he loved his calling. And he wanted to protect his calling. He said, if I discipline myself, if I subdue myself, and I subject my body to the Lord Jesus Christ for his control, everything else is going to take care of itself. And I truly believe that.